Hey, Street Fight Radio listeners. Unfortunately, this episode was recorded incorrectly. Brian is somebody that thinks you don't have to do a sound check because nobody's playing with anything down here. Well, somebody was playing with something down there, and we ended up recording most of the show through the laptop on Brian's computer. And by most of the show, I mean all of it except for the intro, which I added later, and the song. So this is a pretty terrible sounding episode. I think it still comes through. Of course, Brian sounds more louder and more clear than I do. That's probably he did it on purpose. But I think so you'll get something out of this, especially the part where Brian says flippin' criminy later in the episode. So thanks for tuning in. Check out the bonus show. It just came out with Michael C. Sieber. It's the new metal breakdown. Peace. Everybody, it's Street Fight Radio. Glad to have you back. Glad that you're checking it out for the first time. Whatever the case may be, let's get this shit started. I'm very excited to record this week. We are gearing up for a live show in New York City. And the call-in shows are funner than ever. Every single time we do one, I love it more than the last. But I still like to get down here in the basement with the funk in that. Where the AC is running and all of the probably asbestos is collected, but we like to bring you our brand of anarcho comedy directly from the basement. So we're here in my house where we record. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host here is Brian Quinby, and we host Street Fight Radio. It's the number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. For any of you that didn't know, now you do. We've been doing it for 6 years now on WCRS 92.7 here in Columbus, Ohio. And we're basically trying to get everybody to overthrow the existing status quo and ruling systems that keep us in bondage. We want freedom for all working people and rich folks thrown out into the streets where they have to do regular jobs just like we do. And it's a pretty simple plan that we have. First, what we do is we make this radio show gigantic, and then everybody just chills and calls into the show and hangs out together. So thank you for joining in on this journey. I hope you'll support us financially by heading over to patreon.com/streetfightradio, where you can get our monthly zine or bags of Kratom or even some bonus shows. So let's get this shit started.
Bonus shows. We just did my kid.
Yes.
We got Michael C. Siebert. I always call him Michael C. Siebert, not like he's Michael J. Fox or something. And we're going to do a new metal show tonight. Who do we got from Burgerville? What's his name?
Jordan.
Jordan from Burgerville. Longtime listeners will remember Jordan from Burgerville. He got fired for eating a bagel, is what we're going to say. Important. We also might even have some other guests coming up. I don't know. We don't know. We never know who's going to be on the third show, but all we know is we have very cool friends. So you're going to want to be subscribed to that third show because it's different than this. I can tell you that.
That's true.
The weird show.
I enjoyed your conversation with your daughter. It was, you know, as usual, a hit with everybody that heard it. But
She's good. We love her. Okay.
She knows what young folks are into.
I think it's going to be every month now. You guys got me. Five Nights at Freddy's. That's what everybody's into. That's what all the young people are doing. That's what's hip now.
That EXO tour life, too.
Yeah. They are still, I mean, they are going to be the first generation that doesn't have football since the NFL is going to be ended.
Yeah, after CTEs and political scandals, I don't think this is going to be a useful business anymore.
CTE didn't mean anything to most people. They were just like, oh, these guys are like dying from playing this. I'm not mad about that. Oh, these guys are tired of police brutality. That's it. That's the final straw. I'm going to throw my season tickets in a flaming barrel. You know that guy's on the phone trying to get his tickets back, too. You know it.
I have a reference number, though. I still have the reference number in my inbox.
Just knowing what it takes to, like, boycott something that you love as much as a lot of those guys love football. Like, I never made the decision to boycott WWE. You know, I don't love it, but I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. I just knew that I'd be sneaking peeps in. That's why I never... That's why I was like, ah, man, you know, more power to you if you boycott WWE, but I don't think I can do that. And I'm realistic about my disgustingness. Those people are not realistic at all. They're all going to watch football next Sunday. Every one of them is going to watch football next Sunday. They're going to regret all the burning of stuff that they did. We're talking about people who have rooms that are probably completely decorated with Steelers stuff.
Yes.
And then a bathroom that's completely decorated with Brown stuff so they can piss and shit in the Browns room. You know what I mean? Like, these are people who have made a whole part of their life
football.
Football. They're not giving it up. They're just not going to give it up, Brett. That's it's impossible.
I mean, things have changed. The world has changed too much. I think they're tired of it. Maybe they're going to go without football. What are they doing instead? What are they going to do instead, though?
Oh, I saw one guy on Facebook, and it fucking absolutely, like, made me laugh so hard. It said, "Oh, it's nice being able to spend some time with my family on this Sunday instead." It's like, they wish you was watching football, though.
Yeah, you guys had an agreement where your grumpy ass disappeared every Sunday, and they got to go do fun stuff that you grumbled through.
I just pictured a guy walking around Target with his wife, like, complaining about these people disrespecting the police.
Oh, I know. No, I saw... Someone wrote into Bill Burr's podcast and said, "My wife is tired of hearing this from me," and then went on some football rant. He's like, "I just had to get somebody else to hear it." And that is the life. I mean, that's a lot of football fandom. I think that it's inspiring for them to, you know, they're living their own truth. They're going to find they're going to have their new activist lifestyle, and maybe they're going to get in touch with them. With their hobbies that they gave up for football.
No, this is like Lent. I hope they give up.
I have carved a lot of soap since I gave up football.
I hope they give up hamburgers, like cheeseburgers next. Like, I wish the red meat industry would diss Donald Trump so bad. Like, it seems like the best way to get them to just do anything is to be like, "Oh, I'd hate it if you did that." You know, if like, I don't know.
And they have the kind of, like we pointed out, they have the kind of double down activism where they will go and buy your product and then, like, throw it away on camera.
I bought
a Starbucks and I just threw it in the trash.
This guy burning his season tickets. I don't care about football at all. It destroyed me inside. Yeah, why, how do you think it made him feel to burn his season tickets?
For Dallas Cowboys season passes, I could have gotten 4 halfway decent Volkswagens that I could tinker on. You know, like, that's a decent amount of money.
Why didn't he sell them to a libtard? You know, why didn't he? I guess you can't.
You don't protest like that. You don't make money on a protest.
I think you do if you're a Republican like that. If you don't make money off of a protest and you're a capitalist American patriot, then what kind of protest are you doing?
That's a bad Republican, too. He had some valuable shit in his hand. He didn't even get the market value for it.
Just seeing that guy burn his Steelers jersey and, like, that old guy standing looking at the camera, he looked like he was going to cry. He looked so fucking somber. It was so – I loved it. I love how angry they are. And Brett, you follow a lot of the Facebook conservative groups, and you know that for the past year they've been declaring victory against Hollywood for some reason, right? They're just like, "We beat Hollywood."
Yeah, Hollywood's numbers are down.
Numbers are down.
No one's gonna put up with this.
Hollywood's broke now. It's unbelievable how great it is. You know. They're now claiming that they're going to destroy the... Like, they feel like they have, like, this buying power now. That they're going to just destroy... And secondly, there isn't a leftist out... Most leftists are like, go ahead, destroy the fucking NFL. Nobody cares about... Like, we've been telling y'all you got to stop with the NFL anyway because the concussions. You know, we've been saying that. Now we could turn it into flag football. None of the people that would complain are watching anymore.
Yeah, I am. I guess I'm actually kind of. I've been wrestling with that we're going to lose football, it seems like. And I don't know. It seems weird to me.
Well, we've been on a collision course with losing football for a lot of years.
I didn't realize that, though.
I mean, people have been saying it for a long time. I don't think we're going to lose football because, again, I think even most of these guys that say they're boycotting it will watch it on Sunday. They will still play fantasy football. They probably are going to say, like, well, I'm going to quit next season. I have a fantasy team this time, and it would be crazy to give up that jackpot on the fantasy team.
Sure. Or maybe they won't spend any money.
I'll watch it, but I'm not going to buy anything from any of the advertisers. I can see them fucking doing that, Brett. I can see them saying, oh, I'll watch NFL, but I won't get a hotel room at any Marriott hotels. And it's like, okay. I mean, you're still watching the NFL, though. Because I don't think, and this, I'm not sure, I think the ratings have gone down in football because of what they call parity. Like, all the teams are roughly the same good. You know what I mean? And it's, like, mediocre. And I think that's why people are like, I just don't want to watch football anymore. It's not as fun. It's a little more boring, you know? And so I think that's why the ratings have gone down. People are just tired of it. They spread everything out too much. There's too many teams. That's the problem, right? And, like, options, just even options. There, 10 years ago, the only thing you could do on Sunday was, if you wanted to watch TV, you were going to have to watch football on a Sunday because there's just nothing else on, nothing even counter-programmed football. Now you could do it almost, you could do anything. You watch anything against football.
Yeah.
You watch The Walking Dead on Sunday night. Breaking Bad, those sorts of things are on Sunday night. Game of Thrones. All those things are on Sunday nights, Brett.
So they're losing their traditional America. I mean, I think this is going to be a problem with us for several years.
They're giving it away. They're not losing it. Now they're just giving it away. They're like, you know what? You know what? No more movies. No more football. From now on, if you want to be a true patriotic American, you need to sit in a chair and look at a goddamn wall. Or watch Fox News. Fox News.
Yeah, I you're right, though. I think that maybe the bravest move would to be like, you know what, goddamn it, I'm so much of a patriot, I'm just believing in America twice as hard as you're kneeling. You know? Go ahead. Sit down. Me and my family is going to stand proud. Right? Like, it's a versus situation. Like, who gives up on the competition?
They get
like
that.
Like, they just take their ball and go home. They're such overprivileged babies. Like,
well, and we've been and you know, another thing, like, a lot of leftist people that are into sports and stuff like that have been complaining about for a few years is the military, like, jingoism sort of thing that they do before each of the games. And you know, they didn't start doing it till 2009, and it was because the military was basically paying the NFL to do these patriotic displays. It was like a commercial for the military. They were buying time. And when they found that out, which I've heard leftists screaming about this since 2009, since it's been going on. I've heard people saying, like, the military are buying time on the goddamn football, and I'm sick of it. You know, but they just found out about it today. NFL gave all that money back. You want to talk about privilege? As soon as white patriot people found out about that, they were like, we gave the money all back to the military. We gave all of it plus interest back to the military.
Yeah, we wouldn't dare.
That's why they think America's so great and it's so easy to change things. Because as soon as they get something in their head, everything has to change. Like, now that they're mad at football, they're like, fuck it, we're getting rid of football. It's all over.
See, but it's denial of where things are going. I think this is, you know, I feel bad because I know we have folks that are older than us that listen to the show, and there's a lot of ageism that goes on because folks that are older seem to tie themselves to these old ass ways. And I mean, I am so amazed at how quickly everybody's like, yeah, they're kneeling for police brutality. Like, that's just, you know, it's a fact of life now. You know, we've gone to the point where those people don't have as much control as they ever did. Like, they can scream all they want, but those players are going to keep doing all that, you know?
And, you know, it is. It's police brutality is what they're kneeling for, which has been twisted and twisted and twisted now to the point where we're just sitting around talking about the troops at this point. Like, we're spending all of our time. Of course, because anytime something happens with the conservative people, we got to talk about the troops. Well, are you guys being mean to the troops? Is that what's going on?
Well, somebody shot themselves in the head to fly that flag. Someone dies for every American flag going up, right? That's what we're reminded of by those people.
Well, I mean, people say that when they go over to fight, that they're fighting for that flag. Now, it's not necessarily people that went over to fight. I've never heard somebody that went over there and did the fighting be like, I went over there and, you know, most of the time I was thinking about how glorious that flag is when I was killing those people. I've never heard them say it, but people who haven't been there claim.
They seem to think that's why people fight.
Yeah. Doesn't have anything to do with the college tuition bribe or anything like that. It's definitely, oh, I go over there. I think about how glorious that flag is, and I like Eagles too. I'm really into Eagles, and I fight also for your right to do things that I would like you to not do. Is that's what mainly what they fight for over
there. I'm over here in another country protecting you so that you have the freedom to kneel during the pledge, but you don't use it. You're smart enough not to use it, right? Like, that's what all this comes down to. They want us to be free. They want us to celebrate the freedom of America, but not use some of those freedoms.
Yeah, yeah. No. Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare kneel on that knee so that you can express something. Because I don't want, which, by the way, we talked about this last year. One, okay? They didn't kneel. They were sitting. Colin Kaepernick was sitting, and some veteran was like, oh, it would be a lot more respectful if you kneeled. So he kneeled. Now we're all mad because they're kneeling. That's what they're mad about. And now, like, Jerry Jones from the Cowboys is kneeling. The kneeling's, now we can't kneel. Now they're going to have to lay down or something to be more, to be, like, more, make more of a point,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, you have to get away from Jerry Jones being part of the movement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jerry Jones.
Well, their whole thing was a cop-out, too, though, right? You saw their deal, right?
What was it? What was the cop-out?
They knelt, and then they all stood for the pledge.
Ah, boo! Boo!
They did, like, a symbolic kneeling for, like, a t-shirt or maybe a lithograph that they're going to give to season ticket holders.
Well, season ticket holders are not going to be there anymore. They don't want it. It's funny. I think I see a lot of conservatives actually probably not even really. Because, I mean, think about being a conservative person. And, like, all your favorite musicians hate you.
Yeah.
All your favorite movie stars hate you.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Most of them don't care. They're not going to boycott the NFL because they know that most of the players would hate them. They're deplorable people. Really, that is a perfect name for them.
They took it on. They probably took on the deplorable namesake, and it's very descriptive. It's the right description.
So yeah, that's Colin Kaepernick and the Neil and stuff. The conservatives are pissed. They beat Hollywood. Now they're coming for the NFL. And now my hope is that they kill TV next. Really, I mean, what else can they kill?
How long can they go on? But here's the thing: how long can it go on?
Never. It's not gonna go
like
on.
They should be kneeling for a really long time. Like, ostensibly, it's gonna take a while to get this police brutality issue sussed out.
Well, I think that, like, what ends up happening a lot of times, hopefully they keep kneeling, and then what's gonna happen is people are gonna stop caring. The conservative people are gonna ignore it. It's gonna be just a thing that people
exactly.
do now. Yeah.
I think we enter, but that's incredible though. Like, that's something that when we started the show, I expected, like, I had gotten to that point, but I didn't expect as like a large mass of people to get there. But I think that, yeah, kneeling during the pledge will be something that is just a, now a thing that we do, which is something before could a hate crime could have been committed against you for that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That is true. I don't know, man.
We've moved in such a far direction, man. It's happening so quickly.
We're moving. We're moving in. We're gonna be done with America in like 4 years.
No, it's almost. We're almost there. We're almost to utopia. I mean,
there is another reason why we'll be done with America in 4 years.
Yeah,
yeah, he's bad. He's gonna ruin all. He spoiled it. I mean, I'd love to take credit for the rising tide of.
Anti-Americanism,
but it's really America that's really...
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Yeah,
really
he killed it, man. He just came in there. He came in there and made us all hate this country.
You know, everybody could get together and be like, I always fucking hated this place, you know? I never wanted to stand for the flag before. You know what? Now I feel like I don't care if it makes me a snowflake. I'm triggered by the pledge. I'll say it loud and proud. This shit ain't for me. I don't feel like camaraderie with any of the people that subscribe to this shit.
Me too, man.
It's like, I mean, the cops are punishers. You know, I've been talking about it on the Twitter page. But yeah, we're entering a realm where I think the cops are going to probably be punishers by the end of this too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The cops are all going to end up being punishers. Yeah.
Leather trench coats instead of uniforms.
Yeah. Leather trench coats and a shirt, the actual t-shirt.
Like Under Armour will sponsor them and put like a Punisher Blue Lives Matter on one of them tight ass shirts.
Oh, now I'm sweating. My palms are sweating just thinking about when one of them kills me for kneeling during the national anthem at a Columbus Clippers game or something. Which, by the way, I will do. I'm gonna do.
You're now,
yeah. Now, whenever the national anthem comes on somewhere, I'm kneeling. I'm gonna kneel, Brett.
Yeah, I've said it. I mean, I've sat them out.
I'm gonna wear one knee pad to every single game that I go to. It's gonna be my symbolic like knee pad with an upside down American flag on it that I wear around. Look for a Neopad with an upside down American flag in the street fight store coming soon.
Yeah, you got to look up the name of that troop that like sanctioned Kaepernick with the knee. And then if someone like causes you trouble, you can be like, no, Officer McMurray said that this is the appropriate way. And the flag upside down is a sign of distress. That's why I'm kneeling on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm kneeling, man. I'm a Neely boy. That's a Cam Neely is what they
call.
Yeah. So I guess we got to do some street fight style news, though, even though like making fun of Patriots has been street fight since the day we started. That's been our favorite thing. This is from the Today Show from last week. I read it and I figured it needed our comments. Brett.
I love the Today Show. I haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. You don't have cable anymore.
Yeah, I used to have that antenna. I used to have that big fat HD antenna hooked up, and I would watch the Today Show in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Dakota Copy
I don't know who that is. I don't watch it at all. I wouldn't know.
Today Show, I'm thinking, I know, I got it.
So here you go, man. City councilors in the province of New Brunswick will roll out a new law on October 3rd that bans teens over 16-year-old from trick-or-treating and also enforces a Halloween curfew of 8 p.m. Anyone over 16 caught knocking on doors looking for candy or wearing a facial disguise after curfew could be forced to shell out a $200 fine. This is in Canada, where you can get away with stuff like that because they have a lot less freedom than we do. You get all the health care and a little less freedom. But 16 years old now. You can only trick in this city, and once you turn 16, you got to be in by 8 o'clock.
Was that a problem?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Brett. I think it's a problem. I don't like it when the older teens start showing up at my house on trick-or-treat night. I live in a very high-traffic neighborhood. I am assuming I live in a neighborhood where people believe you get full candy bars. That's all I can think for the amount of traffic that comes through my neighborhood. So anytime...
There weren't that many teens when I did it with you.
Anytime I got to even hand one piece of candy to a 16-year-old, that's one piece of candy an 8-year-old does. doesn't get. So I do.
Okay, you got extras. Everybody's got. So
I don't have any. I had to go buy. I always have to go buy more halfway through the night. It's expensive. The trick or treating's a little out of. I'd like to outlaw the whole thing. Really?
No, this is crazy. There's not enough teens out there doing that shit. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy to make a law, I think.
When I was 15, I was like, I can drive a fucking vehicle. Why would I go beg for candy in a goddamn Dracula makeup?
You can do that. A lot of kids won't do one trick or treat, dude. Yeah,
Your own daughter took her own hat out of the ring.
My daughter acts like she's 27 years old.
But,
she's like a grandma. There's going to be older kids. There's always kids that are too old for trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating. It is... not a major issue.
You're fucked up, dude.
But there is...
it's not an issue at all, man. They want free candy.
It's stupid, though.
It's the night to hand out candy. If I wanted to get candy, I feel like I should get the motherfucking candy.
Well, $200 fine, and you got to be in by 8 o'clock. You're bullshit. Over 16, no trick-or-treating for you.
Bullshit. I want to go... if I dress up in a good costume and people like it, I should get some candy bars.
Well, here is a thing that I think should change, though. In a place like this, if you're going to make that law, then you should also, at 16-year-old, be allowed to have a couple beers on trick-or-treat night.
Okay.
Because adults.
Right.
Adults get.
Do adult things.
Yeah. On Halloween night. Halloween for adults is where you get to dress up like a sexy thing and get drunk, right?
Yes.
For kids, you get to dress up like a superhero or a monster or something and get candy. You can't just tell 16-year-olds that they can't do anything. So you got to give them the adult. You give them the adult celebration.
Adults also in trick or treat will fill a solo cup with vodka and seltzer water in a line.
Well,
and
yeah,
walk around the town with it.
That is what's good. That my neighborhood. Most of them. If you're walking around with a kid, you probably have something in that cup, man. What if they went to like. Kind of upper middle class, like a lot of upper middle class neighborhoods, and just checked what was in those Yeti cups.
Sorry.
Check what's in those big giant Yeti cups and those big giant coffee. What's in there? What you got in there? Let's just check. I would love that. Oh.
That's Bailey's. That's not coffee.
Yeah. Coffee. I mean, wine. It's always wine. They're always just a bottle of wine in one of those things. Yeah, so that's a new law in Canada. You know, they test the laws on Canadians before they test them on Americans.
Why would you do that?
I think they're going to outlaw trick or treat. I think that that we live in a world now where trick or treat might even be endangered too. I feel that way.
Fun things we do.
I know. I agree with you in that way, but I do think that having kids go door to door and knock on doors. That's an endangered thing. I just can't imagine it lasts much longer. It just, things aren't that way anymore, man.
I think that kids are just going to go on Twitter and try to get people to donate to their Venmo.
Get some likes. Hey, I'll take some likes for this trick or treat. Hey, blow up my Twitter for me. Blow up my fave star for me. It's trick or treat. No, I just think that what usually what'll end up happening is there will be a couple of parties in each one of the towns. And like the places, I've heard in New York, there are places where you go to the mall and you go to each store and each store has candy, you know, I feel like trick or treat is one of the most uncontrolled things that we still do, you know, it's one of the things where we go out and we trust each other to all behave. And that's not a thing that happens that much anymore. I can't count on one hand how many times that happened. Trick or treat. One finger. That's the only time that happens anymore. What's another time where people get to go out like that?
Yeah, I haven't knocked on my neighbor's door and I live right next to him.
It's ending. It's over. We don't live in a trick or treat world anymore. We live in a terrorism world. It's terrorism. I mean, shit, they've been trying to convince you for years that they're putting drugs in the candy.
And razor blades and apples.
Oh, God, speaking of drugs, do I got a story about drugs today for you? Holy moly. I got this from Stefan, the canna barrister. He's a wonderful boy who is only on Facebook now, so you don't even need to find him anymore. He's not trying to find Twitter followers. He's He's beautiful. He's too beautiful for Twitter. And he's shirtless.
Elevated being like myself.
I am not. I still absolutely need the validation of Twitter.
Yeah, he hasn't burned out on the RTs.
This happened in Modesto, California today. A medical scare at Modesto High School led first responders to call for an air ambulance to land on campus. A student collapsed. It turned out she ate power pop. Hell yeah, street fight, baby.
Cold cash. Get that cold cash.
A student freaking criminy.
Don't get too flippin' wild.
I'm sorry, I got frustrated there. When I get frustrated, I don't cuss. I only cuss when I'm not frustrated.
No, when I'm super mad, I will not cuss. I will say something that's fudging bothering
me. I'm flipping criminy over here. A medical scare at a Modesto high school led first responders to call for an air ambulance to land on campus. A student collapsed. It turned out she ate powerful pop brownies, and she wasn't the only one.
Good shit, right?
I mean, sometimes we collapse off weed brownies. Yeah, it happens. I've been there, man. I've wanted to lay down for a few minutes.
It's called experience. It's called wisdom. It's called a lot of things, but you're gaining a lot of knowledge. Too much knowledge is getting crammed into your brain hole at that point, and you've overclocked yourself, right?
A little bit. I mean,
I famously gave somebody a weed treat that was so powerful that they passed out on the streets of Dallas, Texas, and hit their face like on the ground.
Yeah.
But she woke up immediately and was like, "Oh man, I was playing too much with my high brain."
That's embarrassing.
Cut everything off, right?
I was embarrassed. I needed to I am an experienced person, so when I fuck around too much with a powerful edible, I know that I need to go sit down and take a minute by myself to catch my breath. But here's some teen, man.
They just close their eyes and, lean into it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know where this is going to take me. And then all of a sudden, they're laying sideways on the ground with the head split open.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, it's an accident.
So what happened?
The kids, it says, "I'm just baffled that marijuana brownies were at the school," Elizabeth North said.
Wow. In California?
Yeah.
You dumb. You watch TV? Like, you people are known for it.
I had pop brownies in there.
Get a fucking clue. Fire this lady and get her out of the fucking school. I don't need dimwits like this teaching kids.
I had pop brownies when I was in school, and they weren't they were rare as hell back then.
I mean, they were probably mentioned on Married with Children. I mean, people will know about kids and pop brownies.
Kids got high inside Modesto's Davis High School hallways. The potent pop brownies classmates ate during lunch left one student get out of here, paralyzed.
You weren't paralyzed, just stoned.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Some people clench up. You can't do shit about it. You got to wait it out. How do these people not know what to do?
I know. Just let them lay down in a fucking room. Let them lay down in the nurse's office and relax. Turn the lights out. Let them take a nap. Let them shiver a little bit. They're going to be a little scared, right? They're too high. It happens. Nobody's ever died from these things. You don't need a goddamn helicopter. You don't need to fire up a helicopter to take care of it.
Let me tell you what Brett Payne, dare officer on duty, would do if I was there. I'd have my CBD oil ready to go to bring this kid down from their high, take care of the situation in an instant.
Yeah. Why didn't one of the teachers be like, "They're fine. It's just the weed brownie.
Get them potato chips."
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of, is there a lot of hot fries around here that you can make him eat until he gets his fucking energy back?
I mean, you could still punish him. Just put him in a goddamn room and say, look.
Tell him it's stupid. Yeah, you can't do this. We're here to learn shit. We're here to practice shit. And it's not going to happen if you eat one of these high THC brownies. You're not going to get twisted off 50 milligrams of weed brownie and make it into social studies.
Yeah, yeah. It just says the student turned patient was it said there were symptoms so serious paramedics first called for a helicopter ambulance landing on the practice field during the school day. The student turned patient was eventually driven by ground ambulance to a nearby hospital. Drugs at school? That's a serious thing always, Reed said. Now the Modesto City School District is investigating who brought the brownies to school and how many students ate them. We're still talking to a variety of students, and oh god, that's like all the news of the school.
And this happened in my high school. This happened in every fucking high school across America, and it wasn't a big deal ever. It was just adults that keep looking at each other to ratchet up the seriousness of this. Like, pretend that you care a whole bunch about this. It's like,
I know. Why don't they ever?
It's why like that beer that we talked about?
Yeah. Why don't they ever get anybody like what? Where am I? When this situation happens, where?
Out of it.
Why don't they call? There's nobody there to be like, guys, it's weed. Fucking calm down a little bit here. We're gonna be okay. I'm gonna start working. I gotta start working in school. That's probably what needs to happen. I need to be a guidance counselor. That's the only thing I can think of to fix this problem. Yeah, is we need more chill people in the guidance counseling profession.
Right. They need there's a bunch of Blakes and McKenzies that need somebody to turn to like you.
Well, and the thing is, this is being reported on the news, and it's being treated like the adults were justified in this, right? Like, they're saying things like one of the students was nearly paralyzed. Nobody in the history of marijuana has ever ended up paralyzed by marijuana.
Yeah, that's never.
That's not a thing.
You're not on the brink of paralyzation. his bones and his spine were fusing together.
So the news even justifies this sort of thing, where it's like, they say in the thing, they say, despite the new California laws on recreational marijuana for adults, Modesto City school policy strictly prohibits any intoxication on campus. What an obvious thing to say.
Well, if I lived in a weed legal state, what I would do is, next to all of the drinking fountains in the building, I would put an emergency bucket that you could fill full of water if anybody thought they were too paralyzed on weed. You could throw it all over and prove that they're not fucking paralyzed at all, because they're going to be jumping when that gets thrown on them.
Why can't I just make a list of things that weed's not going to do and put paralysis as like one of the first top things on there? Fucking paralyzed, Brett. This is like when they said that the satanic people fed babies to sharks. This is exactly the same fucking thing.
Right. I mean, they say it and then everybody else is like, oh, that's serious. Oh, my goodness. Wow, really? Oh, my goodness. School officials? Did school officials say that? There was school officials in the story.
I love the last sentence of this news story. The Modesto School District says the one student who was taken by ambulance was released from the hospital and is okay. No shit. You didn't even have to say that. As soon as you said they ate a powerful edible, we knew that they were okay. And they're probably still a little bit stoned. Like, when they got home, they probably, what did they do? Give them CBD? They don't even know to give them CBD. They're that stupid that they don't even know to just give them CBD and they'll come down and be just fine. You know?
No.
They probably shot them up with a bunch of stuff that's worse than the weed, like fucking, you know, Xanax or Ativan or something like that. What they probably did is took them to the hospital and gave them more drugs. I can almost guarantee.
How often would you fix that?
I know. What in the fucking world, man? Oh.
I don't even think Ohio. I mean, I think in Ohio, people would be like, it's a fucking weed brownie.
People would panic in Ohio, too. People would panic anywhere, dude. Read the comments on any story about weed on the news, and you'll see people who still are like, you know, I knew somebody who smoked weed in high school, and then they ended up dying from heroin. And you're like, okay.
They got schizophrenia.
Or like, I knew somebody smoked marijuana from high school, and now they work at Walmart. It's like, that's not like the worst thing in the world. That's probably the economy, not the weed necessarily.
Right.
Like, fuck, man. There's so many things to worry about that aren't a bunch of stoned kids. 16. It's a high school. I can't even.
Like we said before. There's a conversation to be had, but why everyone runs around like chickens with their heads cut off, I will never in my fucking adult life understand.
Why did they call a helicopter?
I'm just now getting into it. Like, I'm just now, my daughter's in pre-K, she's doing it at public school, it's all day long, she's with like elementary school kids, and the parents and the other people I'm around is still something I'm getting accustomed to, and they're just... not I mean, you can think whatever you want. I don't know. That's what surprises me, is that you really can't be out here thinking whatever you want.
Yeah, they'll let you go. They'll let you, they can let you just do any old thing, you know? It's a fucking... It's just... We live in some kind of a world, Brett, where right. people panic. Just... It's all about panicking, right?
The fear that comes up, and I still, you know, it's anecdotal, but the world that I inhabit, there's just so little danger. I know statistically, if I went online and looked something up, or if I watched the news, it would seem like around every corner there was some danger that was lurking. But, we don't lock our fucking doors around here, you know?
Yeah. I don't lock my door at all, but... Don't break into my house. It's still not acceptable. I don't like my car doors, and it doesn't right. get broken into. There are dangerous places in this world. I'm not saying that there's not dangerous places in this world, but I'll bet you at this Modesto High School, there's yeah. almost zero fucking danger. You know?
They have nothing else. It seems like it's just one of those things where people have nothing else to do besides turn this into a controversy, when it's like, you know, somebody should just tell these kids not to fuck around with these weed brownies.
Yeah.
You gotta know what it's like to be depressed from having a real job before you can do weed.
You know what? I kind of like that. I kind of like this new. I like this. You get a real job, motherfucker. You know what? You get a real job. You're working at least 20 hours a week. You are allowed to use weed now. I understand. And look, I understand that 15-year-olds. I don't think 15-year-olds should have to have real jobs, though.
No, I'm not down.
No, I don't think you should have to start working until you're like 20. So don't come at me when you got 16-year-olds getting high because you decided that they need to get a job when they're 16. I don't think they need a job. Brett doesn't think they need a job. But if they got a job, you should be allowed to use weed. I'm sorry. It's the same thing when, like, you make those arguments about minimum wage with people where it's like, well, most of these jobs are for teenagers. Yeah. I mean, isn't their labor worth exactly the same amount as like a full-grown adult's labor? They're doing the same thing. Some teenagers, and I've had this conversation with a few people on Twitter recently about how, like, oh no, we talked to somebody on a call-in show this week about how when you're a teenager, you think your boss at your fucking job is your dad. Like, they're like one step under your parents, and you feel bad when you let them down. Like, and some people never get out of that.
No,
right?
No.
Never.
It's like their teacher.
Yeah. I got out of it where it was like, yes, I'm calling off. Oh, really? Well, we're going to be really screwed today. Oh, okay. Well, I'm still calling off. So, I know. You mean like the times other people have called off and I was there and you were screwed? What? No way. Yeah. One really? Person less. That what, having one person less there would probably be pretty hard. I think I believe you. I'm not coming in though. Still not going to come in. Why are you calling off? Personal reasons. Just really, even when I was really sick, at the call center, cause all the time was the same, right? Like, so it was like you had 40 hours. If you worked there for 2 years, you had 80 hours of time off per fucking year, for a calendar year. And all those hours were the same. Sick time, vacation time, personal That's time. Nice. You got all those times were the same. So every time I called off, they'd be like, and what's the reason? I'd be like, I ain't got to tell you anything. Personal. It's a personal reason. Even if I had a kidney stone. I wouldn't tell them that I had a kidney stone.
That's
well, it's like, fuck you. What do you mean? What's the reason?
Hey. I've worked in those places where they metered everything out, and it was like, this is your sick time. And they're like, wait, are you using vacation time today? I'm like, yeah, I want to use vacation time. And they're like, oh, but I'm looking here on the computer, and you used up the last year of vacation time. It's like, all right, then I'm using sick time.
I called in on Christmas one year at the call center because they worked on fucking Christmas, which is something they warned you about. So I just saved time for Christmas. I was like, oh, well, you know, you guys are making us work. Yeah, I can make sure. I guess I only have 72 hours because 8 of those is going to be used on Christmas. When I called in, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not coming in today. And they're like, oh, you got the Christmas flu? Guess what I said? None of your business. I'm I could not come in for any old reason I want to.
You'll never know.
I know. We've been using these hours. Let it be a mystery. Everybody sit around and talk about why I'm not here. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, man, the fucking people that did come in. How crazy is that? That they, like, you could use the time. You didn't get in any trouble. They pretty much expected most of the people to call off. And so I started, I don't know why that popped in my head the other day, but it was like, ooh, I wonder who did show up for that day, you know?
I don't know. I have to say, in some ways, I don't respect the holidays, and sometimes if they'll give you extra pay on a holiday, I was the person that's like, yeah, I got some extra time on Christmas. You're going to pay me time and a half.
Yes, they do. They do that. They will do Christmas. They time and a half. They were offering that. I said no. I didn't want that.
I understand.
I don't want it. I don't care. I don't care about time and a half. Just give me the regular time. I'll take the time. Just time times one, and then I'm not gonna fucking. I just won't be there. Right. You know.
Yeah, you're not. You only turn it down one time. You're not turning down time and a half.
I turned down.
I wasn't turning down time and a half. I was turning down 8 hours of regular work.
I turned down more time. There are listeners right now that would be disgusted by the amount of time and a half I've turned down in my life. Like, there are people.
I love that time and a half. I'm a time and a half guy.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that when I worked at the cable company, there were double time and a half days.
Jesus.
I turned them down. I turned every one of them down. I said, no, I'd rather be at home. You know, the day after Thanksgiving would be a time and a half day. And then they would add, because a lot of people would want it off, they would make it double time and a half. And I'd be like, is there any possible way that I could just not come in, save y'all a little bit of money?
Right. I hate to see you pay me that much for doing so little.
Trying to be a good soldier here, man. Yeah. You know? I don't think I can handle it. But yeah, time and a half was something I did not care about. So I solicited employee handbooks this week because I kind of thought, or last week, because I want to start going over some of them and taking a look at what's in them. I haven't got too many of them yet. I'm going to read them probably in the coming week. Or maybe when Brett's out of town, I'll be able to read all of them.
You're always coming week.
Yeah. So I did get this story from Motherboard that somebody sent me because I don't have – because Walmart doesn't have an employee handbook that I could read. They said you would never be able to check out the Walmart employee handbook because, and this is the headline from Motherboard, a third-party app helps Walmart workers understand company policies.
Oh, fun.
So somebody had to develop an app created by a workers' rights group. WorkIt attempts to make it easier for Walmart employees to be able to access work-related information when not on the job. It's not easy for Walmart employees to get information about company policies. The giant retailer does not provide its workers with employee handbooks or copies of personnel policies. And even if it did, its policies are constantly changing.
So it's only like on a computer probably, like with a cloud saved version.
Right. They don't want me and this is exactly, they don't want me and you to get our hands on a Walmart handbook. And they constantly change the fucking rules at these places.
Well, someone sent us the manager's handbook from Walmart.
Ooh, well, I can't wait to look through that. I mean, I guess the regular employee doesn't get their hands on they don't get their own because they would take it and show people, right?
I mean, I would expect. I mean, as many as that we've received, there's a lot of people that were willing to send theirs over.
Yeah, and while a small amount of policy information is available to associates who log on to the Walmart One app and website, most employee policies are only available in an intranet known as The Wire inside the company. Nice. They, oh, man.
I'm like someone who would get caught in that movie from 1995.
They got Matrix. It's like The Matrix.
Yeah, The Net.
I like it. Workers needing information on Walmart's policies have to access the wire when they're logged in at work on a computer that's typically located in or near a manager's office, a situation that can be less than ideal. For example, a Walmart worker being sexually harassed may complain to her manager, but if the manager isn't addressing the issue, going into his office to use the intranet to figure out what to do next can be a little bit awkward. And that's by design, right? So, like, if you needed to go and talk to somebody, Or if you had a problem, like, say, I don't know, you weren't being told to clock off and finish your work, you would want to find out what the recourse is for that within the company. Who would I report this to? Where's the person that I report this to? Go into manager's office. Why don't you ask them who you report it to? Go into person who makes that decision's office and report it.
Yeah, that's pretty hostile.
Yeah. But that's what they do when you go to these orientations. It's like, you don't want to be in a fucking union, do you? You really want to be in a union? Those scumbag, dirtbag unions? You know, they'll make you deal with their problems collectively instead of with just one person. You know, we want me and you one-on-one in a conference situation. It's not fair that you would get everybody else on your side and then come to me. That's totally wrong, okay?
Man, I gotta find this Walmart handbook.
Yeah,
we have it in here, but there was some union shit too. Like, they have like an acronym to remember what you can and can't say about unions.
What you can and can't say about unions.
Yeah, like, you can't threaten. They remind the managers, don't threaten people not to use a union.
You're not allowed to even threaten people?
You gotta think of creative ways that aren't threats.
Daddy likey.
Think outside the box.
Yeah, I'm looking in the ones you sent me, too. I don't know. I got Guitar Center. It's so great. I got Whole Foods Guitar Center. Oh, no. Yeah, I wish I knew. So what happened is the people that are trying to organize Walmart are Walmart. Organizing United for Respect at Walmart has taken a stab at liberating this internal information through an app of its own called Work It. We've been doing this work for a number of years and have really seen the tremendous economic insecurity and instability that people in low-wage jobs and people working at Walmart are facing every day. And the fact that people are increasingly going to social media to look for and find help and support around the daily challenges they're facing at work, which is true. I mean, like, even though it can get you fired, social media is a good place for you to go on and find out what your rights are. Unfortunately, the way that things are set up now, you just don't have it. There's just none. You don't have any rights in the workplace at all. And that's because a bunch of dinguses think that the only people that can steal your freedom are the people in the White House or in the government and not the people that you work for. I mean, like, the Labor Relations Board is now being stacked with anti-union people by Donald Trump. And unions ain't happening, man. Walmart is not going to get unionized. I can't wait to get this acronym. We'll have to get it on next week's show.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
But these people are cool as hell. They're taking this information. And if anybody out there, if any organizers out there need any information on any of these employee handbooks, I'd be really glad to get them to you. Just let me know if you need them. And I can get them. I have pretty much everybody at this point. I have a lot of handbooks. But I just don't know which ones. I also have one last story for this week from Thought Catalog, which is a blog, right? And it's another story somebody sent me about a place that you worked for. So I thought that I would get your opinions on this. It's called 23 Confessions of a Former Abercrombie & Fitch employee.
Oh,
you worked for Abercrombie & Fitch, right?
Yeah, I worked. I worked for Hollister, that they're like surf brand, overnight. So from like midnight to 6 in the morning, I would fold clothes so that they would be all straight in the morning.
Jesus, the warehouse boy. You worked.
Well, no, that was in the store.
Okay.
But then I worked in the warehouse.
Well, here's number
5 years.
Here's number one. They spray cologne called Fierce on everything every hour.
They spray it on the fans. Like, when you go in there, they put it on the fans.
What's it smell? Is it good cologne?
No, I mean, it's very overpowering.
It smells like a mall. It's like the mall smell.
You know, it's actually, you know, I mean, every cologne has, I mean, for the most, there are some, obviously, some bad scents, but it's really just the amount you put on. Like, it's something where it shouldn't be following you in like a cloud the way that it does in that place. Like, it shouldn't be thick in the air.
Did you smell like the cologne all the time when you worked there?
No, the Hollister place when we worked there, it was, they did the same thing, but I don't remember smelling like it. But the store did.
It's called Fierce.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, according to this. The 90s Eurodance meets gay bar soundtrack consists of about 15 songs, and it's looped mercilessly throughout the day. So you got 15 songs you listen to all day? Not bad. I mean, most radio stations are only like 15, maybe less than 15 songs, right?
I had an MP3 player to listen to while I worked.
Because Abercrombie and Fitch corporate consists of mostly goblins and lesser demons, they force store managers to intentionally craft the schedule so as to keep people at the upper edges of part-time and therefore not eligible for health care. That's a very common thing. I did that.
When I worked at Hollister, that was the salespeople were just like, they were really like, I mean, I really need a lot of more hours because they require them to wear the clothes.
Yeah.
They gave him a discount. It was like a 40% discount. Or I mean, it was even like, I think it was 20 or 30% for associates. When I worked for the warehouse, I got way more. But yeah, they required them to wear all the clothes, to have like current season stuff, and then they wouldn't give them over in like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And the managers were young as shit. It's like the 19-year-old manager situation where they're like, y'all be the manager for $29,000. If you guarantee I get $29,000. I'll be falling off.
Give me that health care.
Yeah.
Toss me some of that health care.
Exactly.
I'd love to go to the doctor. Most of the store managers and a lot of the employees, at least at this person's location, held one or multiple degrees, which is...
I didn't know that.
Well, that's just one of those things that, like, there's just no jobs for people with degrees, so you got to go work at a goddamn Abercrombie.
I'm hanging out with losers that got degrees.
That's right. Employees referred to hilariously as models. Did they refer to you as a model?
No, I was overnight crew.
Brett looks like a model, though. Well, that sucks because what it says is we're sorted by appearance into various parts of the store.
Yes.
The thinner and more conventionally good-looking you were, the closer you were to the front.
No, that's absolutely true. I feel like they got in trouble for that. Yeah, the back.
No, they didn't. They said that people got fired up about it and mad about it, but the owner was like, I'm gonna shit what you're mad about. Man, right. I'm going to put the good-looking people in front of the store. That's just who I am, you know? That guy looks like a fucking real piece of junk, too. This guy's lips that look like they got blown up by a fucking bicycle pump. I want to kick his fucking head in.
Yeah.
He dresses like a teenager's.
Calf implants. Like a 40-year-old man wearing flip-flops and jeans.
Oh, my God. Number six. I was one of the employees that was scouted while walking around my school's campus, which essentially consists of a good-looking male manager coming up to you with a clipboard and telling you that you were pretty enough to work for Abercrombie and that you should enjoy the team.
How old is this? I feel like they've been failing in recent years.
Well, this is from... this. She said she worked there when they were failing. This is the thing about...
Oh, this has always been what they do.
Showing a good amount of skin on women was openly encouraged in a way that would have constituted sexual harassment in nearly any other work environment. That sounds about right.
Yeah,
you know?
I like a sexual work environment.
You do, yeah. Some people just really.
At the warehouse, it was great to have like a couple hundred people that were all sexually active with each other. I think that was a good part of my life.
You know, one thing we did learn is that they're told not to confront people about shoplifting, weren't we?
Was that true?
I think. Shoplifting customers were the norm. Many customers would come in with little machines to take off the security. Where do you get one of those?
eBay.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we order those and sell those on our site?
Telesensor, like, removal device. They're pretty easy to get.
We need to...
we'll put those on the Street Fight store.
Yeah, we should put those in the Street Fight store. We should be selling those things. The employees often steal is another part, which is, that's every job.
So much.
Yeah, you've made a lot of money.
I made so much money. I made way more than like even my straight laced jobs, like stealing combined with my income. I made so much. Ridiculously too. Like I would take a coat and I would just like fish it inside of my own coat and wear it out like under my clothes. And I'm wearing an extra coat on my back.
Hey, you know,
it's exhilarating when you finally leave the building and no one chases you down and you know you got away with it and you fucking turn the key on your ignition and you drive away. That's like Oh, stealing is the best feeling. I haven't done it in a long time. I really need to rip somebody off for like a shitload of money to feel good.
Okay. Yeah, you should get into shoplifting. Maybe that's what our November show will be. Brett goes shoplifting.
Yeah, I'll see what I can shoplift.
Yeah. I don't see anything huge here. Technically, we were given breaks, but we're always encouraged by our shift managers to stay as close to the store as possible and not take more than 15 minutes to eat our lunch. That's not fair. That's regular old work stuff.
That's their shit. I mean, that's just like working at retail.
Yep. Yeah, so it looks like that's a hell place to work. Thanks, Chelsea Fagan, for all the information. Next week, we'll probably get into some more... We'll get into some more dirt
handbooks.
Dirt on them handbooks.
I seriously have a manager's Walmart book. I sent it to Brian, but I can't find it right now.
Yeah.
But we will definitely delve.
Well, I wanted to do those two stories first, but I got Longhorn Steakhouse, which I'm sure is great. All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it. If you want to support what we do financially, you can do that at patreon.com. And it's not just like giving us money for free. You pay $1 a month, you get 4 extra Street Fights a month. That's only a quarter an episode. Completely ridiculous that we would charge that amount, but you can take advantage.
It's too expensive, I agree.
It is too. It's too much, but we need the money. And most of this actually is going towards operating costs. I mean, you got to know, seriously, for every dollar that you pledge on Patreon, we're getting 40 cents. We got to pay a lot to get zines made and create them shipped and postage and all of these things. And we love to do it. And thanks and are appreciative of everybody that subscribes. So please help keep this thing moving into new dimensions. Our zine comes out once a month. We're doing fiction this month. So on September 1st, if you got charged, you're going to get the fiction zine. In October... we're doing the occult scene, complete with tarot cards and stories of real satanic panic and the people that were involved. So sign up over at patreon.com/streetfightradio for that. We're doing, what are we doing, family and food to close out the rest of the year?
Yeah, and then early next year, the first two zines at least, the first one will be romance and the second one's nation building.
Oh, right. That sounds intriguing.
Nation building is we're going to ask people to write constitutions, draw flags, and come up with utopians. So now we're 4 in, and then we'll start getting you the info on every one of the zines.
Please consider it. $5 a month, you get a zine sent to you every single month. You get access to the live performances that we do around the country. You get all of the extra bonus episodes. It's really the complete Street Fight experience, and if you're down to get more egalitarian on this flat earth, please consider going over to patreon.com/streetfightradio and putting some money down. You're not going to regret the dollars that you send our way. We're going to get more outrageous, we're going to be more emboldened, and we're going to change shit for the good, and we hope that you're along for the ride. All you need to do is subscribe. We're Street Fight Radio. Peace.
We want to be like Nancy and Lee. We want to sing like Kim and Marvin. We want to wear the same as Sonny and Cher. And show we got balls like a neon doll.